Most of you know that today was a big ruling on striking down Proposition 8. Proposition 8, I probably all know, was changed the California Constitution to ban same-sex marriage, so that got struck down today. So I was listening to the news around that. I want to say first I'm going to use a few political examples tonight, and every time I do that I always want to tell people that I don't assume that our politics are all the same. And so my point isn't who's right or wrong about the politics. My point is I'm really trying to bring it from a Dharma perspective. I thought Prop 8 was terrible, and I was quite happy today to see it struck down. And as I was looking at the news, I noticed that if any of you know, there are people who are quite happy and joyous about that. And then the news would flip to other people who are despondent and angry about it, right? There's a range of ways people were reacting. That struck me. Also, just in the last day or two in the news has been President Obama's birthday. I think it's today, right? And so maybe that's the reason that they're bringing up the birther issue that, you know. And they were saying that a quarter of people in this country don't believe that President Obama was born in this country. Now, you can see the reason why I want to be respectful if there are people, if we don't all share the same views or beliefs. Statistically, most people who tend to come to Dharma groups would tend to be pretty liberal, progressive people. And even when I say Prop 8 struck down, you can hear there's a few people, yay, right? Because I think that would be kind of the general consensus here. But if you have a different view, you know, I don't want people to feel unsafe about that. Looking at the news today around these two issues, Prop 8 and the birther, whether President Obama was born in this country, and many, many other issues, you know, you can just see how polarized things are in this country, in politics, how much anger it is about is out there. And it seems like it's difficult for people to have honestly different views on things and be able to talk to each other, communicate with each other without there being a lot of judgment and anger. And so a few questions I was reflecting on are how, from a Dharma perspective, how do we respond, how do we act, how do we respond, how do we engage with being active and proactive in the world, wanting to really make the changes that we think are right and are just in a way that doesn't get caught in this polarizing us versus them. And I think it's tricky, and I think I'm wading into some potential tricky territory here. I was reflecting on it for this talk tonight because there are some areas that I could name where it's not so clear that there is a right or wrong. There's just different opinions. And yet at the same time, there are some things I do think are right or wrong, right? I don't think, well, everybody has these different opinions. I really do think, using Prop 8 as an example, I thought it was terrible. Taking a whole group of people and how it treats them, and I just couldn't believe that it passed. So I'm not letting go of that opinion. That's how I see it. You might have a different opinion about it. So I've been reflecting and teaching lately on one of the discourses of the Buddha, which according to tradition is considered to be the third Dharma talk that he gave after his enlightenment. And it's called the Fire Sermon. So what the Fire Sermon basically says is all of our experience is on fire. It's a metaphor. And it's burning with the fire, metaphorically burning with the fire of what's called greed or lust, hatred and delusion. Greed, hatred, and delusion. And basically what the Buddha's saying is that if we see or hear or understand, have any experience through any of our senses that we like, we're pulled towards it. And if any experiences come that we don't like, we tend to, that's what they call, it's a euphemism, the greed or the lust. And the experience that comes through any of our senses that we don't like, the opposite happens. We push it away. We don't want it. Or we're in some kind of adversarial relationship with it. And we call that, again, it's a euphemism, hatred. that's a strong term, but it covers the even subtler, where hatred might be too strong of a word, but it's just, you know, some pushing away of unpleasant. And then delusion, which is, it's a big topic, but not seeing the way things are. So that's a whole big Dharma topic. What does that mean to see the true nature of things as they are? We won't get into that so much tonight. And what the Buddha says is, and so this is something for us to all look to in our own experience. So I want to invite you to reflect on this yourself. He's saying, if we really look and pay attention and notice, he's not saying there's never a time when, in a given moment, when we're freed from those forces that create suffering. But let's just put it this way. Our minds are habituated or conditioned to go in those directions easily. And he's saying when we're paying attention, if we notice whatever the experience is through any of the senses or an experience in the mind, which is considered a sense store, I should say, make sure I'm clear, the senses are considered seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and then touch is any other body sensations. So that's what we call the five senses. And the sixth sense door is called the mind door. And it's considered a sense door because it's another way we have experiences, which are just mental experiences. So that's considered the sixth sense door. You know, if you're having a thought and worrying about something, say, and that's creating some difficulty for you, then there's some suffering going on around that experience, which is purely mental. So what this is asking us to do is take a look. And what the Buddha's saying is, if you really take a look, any time in relationship to any experience, there's some kind of greed, hatred, or delusion. We're not able to just be in present with the experience with a mind that's at peace and a heart that's open in love. There's going to be some kind of, we'll use the word suffering, that's a strong word, but some kind of unease or dis-ease. It's just uncomfortableness, or it can get stronger and stronger, we would say suffering. And so it's just ask us to look and see if that's true for ourselves. This teaching is not telling us to let go of some view about what's right or wrong in the world. And in fact, there are many places where the Buddha, most of the teachings were given towards ascetics or monastic men and women, monks and nuns. But there's certainly plenty of teachings handed down where the Buddha was talking to people who were living normal, they were lay people living household lives. And he gave all kinds of opinions where, you know, we should act in this way and we shouldn't act in that way. So it's not like there was no opinions where we just, you know, we don't want to say anything's right or wrong. No, the Buddha didn't do that. He had very strong opinions about things. So where is the place where that teaching hits up something? I'm just going to stay with the Prop 8, but we could pick anything just because Prop 8 is up today. How do those two meet together? One thing that can happen is that if our opinions can color our perceptions in ways sometimes we don't see. But what perception is where we're overlaying, making something mean, put a meaning on something that may not necessarily be there. So, going back to Prop 8, I actually talked to one person I can remember who said to me, I don't have an opinion about same-sex marriage. It's okay with me. But my religious faith teaches me that it's wrong, and so I have to go with that. My sense was not to just jump on this label of, oh, you're homophobic or whatever I might put on her. Seemed like a kind, loving person and was kind of felt a little stuck, maybe. You know, it's easy to project a lot of motivations on people. I do think there are some motivations out there that I don't think are so great. I could fall into a judgment about, well, what's going on with these people. When the greed, hatred, and delusion is going on, it can color our perception, and we can make up a lot of stories about people and their motivations and everything. A lot of them may be true, but not necessarily true. I once, this was about maybe 20 years ago, when I was living in Santa Cruz, there was a gym I used to work out in, and it had a jacuzzi. So I was in the jacuzzi one day, and the person next to me kept bumping into me. you know, and you're in the jacuzzi, like, I don't want this guy touching me, right? I was thinking, what's going on? And it kept happening. I was thinking, don't you know that you're bumping into me? Move over. And it's like kind of creepy, and what's going on? And my mind was really creating a lot of negativity about the person. And then he got out of the tub. As he got out, he turns out he didn't have any legs, and he had to pull himself up. He didn't have stability. He was bobbing around. You know, can you imagine if you don't have your legs, you're in the hot tub, like your body might kind of... He wasn't being a jerk. But before I saw that, I didn't even notice the perception that was happening. It was just my unconscious, already knowing perception of what was happening. It didn't occur to me that there could have been many, many other explanations. And then when he got up, a whole new reality shifted in my mind. So that's one thing we want to watch out for in relationship to any things that can be difficult, about our attitudes towards it. And the second thing, and this is really the heart of what I wanted to get to tonight, for anything in our own lives or in society, any aspects of life for which we feel like some action is needed, or there's a real injustice happening, change needs to happen, we need to shift the politics, we need to shift the law, we need to stand up for injustice, and all of that, I hope we won't throw that away. We won't give up our sense of what's right and wrong and what's just and caring for each other in loving ways. I hope we won't throw any of that away. And what I also hope we will do is bring in the piece of how would I approach a particular situation? So think of any situation. Prop 8 may be the one up for you. You know, I'm talking about it tonight, or maybe it's been up. So pick that one if you like. Pick anything. Take a moment and notice when you think about this situation in your life or in society, something that may bring up a lot of fear. Pick anything. Notice how you relate to that situation or that thing or that person. And now a question is, what would my relationship with this situation, what would my relationship with that look like if my mind could be freer or free from the greed, hatred, and delusion? How would I approach that situation? What would it look like? If what you're up to in your life is to live as authentically as you can from a place of an open, loving heart, to have a quiet, peaceful mind, and if we would like to take that really as far as we can, really have a deeply peaceful mind and a profoundly open, loving heart. And you've all touched places like that. So we can, last week we were talking about, in connection with letting go, that as human beings we can shift our states of consciousness. And a lot of you were here last week talking about that, right? And sometimes if we're in difficult mind states, we could literally shift into different mind states. We can't always do it. We've got to be realistic. But it's possible to do that and really be in another state of being that's not fake, and it's not pushing away or squishing down what's really going on with us or pretending. But we've really let go of something and opened up into something else. And so, and the ability to do that is something that we need to strengthen and we work on, and it grows. So the best you can, I just want to offer up, when you're looking at whatever the difficult situation is, see if it's an experiment. Okay, let me stop, pause for a minute. Let me tend to what's my inner states of greed, hatred, and delusion, and see if we can soften around that. And then, what does life look like from that place now? What is it like to free our hearts and minds? And so I want to give you one last example. I used to work for years in doing Dharma in prisons. I started in the 70s and went up into the early, I was around 2001 or two, I stopped. And there's a few programs that I started that are still going in a couple state prisons. So in one state prison, a really tough prison, a Salinas Valley State Prison, one day a man came up to me and he was doing a long sentence. He might have been a lifer, I don't remember. And he had, you know, over the years had shifted and turned himself around. Now he's part of our Dharma group. He was trying to shift his life around. And he had had a long time gang affiliation in the prison. And so because of that, there's a lot of baggage there. It's not so easy to make a shift. There's a lot of pressures on you. So he came to me and he said, my gang says, I have to, as a retaliation for something else, I have to go stab this other person in the other gang. And if I don't do it, my own gang's going to get me. Pretty tough situation. What should I do? I told him, I don't know what you should do. And I really was respectful, and we spent some time. But, you know, listen, you know, it's easy for me to come into prison knowing in 2 hours I'm going out the gate and going home, and you're here. So I want to be very respectful of his situation. What I did say to him is, I don't know what to do, but what I do know is, to the degree that you can calm your mind and open your heart and free yourself from greed, hatred, and delusion, or another way to say it is, free yourself from reactivity the best you can, acknowledging that I don't know if that's an easy thing to do here. You do the best you can. At least you have the best chance in approaching the situation with the clearest mind. The next time I saw him was a few months later. I didn't know what had happened to him. And I found out what had happened to him. Coming from a place like that, he had come up with given his karma, if you will, or the situation, I thought was a pretty creative solution. When they were out on the yard, he knew he wasn't going to cause harm. He just wasn't going to do it. But he faked it. He had a weapon, a knife. You know, they make these homemade. They get metal and they shave them. And he lunged at the person from the other gang, purposely, like, you know, lost his balance and went for him but missed. So he didn't touch the other guy. People could see he really tried. He got thrown in the hole in solitary confinement for a couple of months as his punishment, which he consciously took on as, I guess you could say, his karma, if you will. He consciously took it on as his way, knowing that that would happen, but it took care of what he needed to take care of, and he lived according to his truth. And it didn't occur to me that I would never say that to him, but it wouldn't have occurred to me necessarily to say that. So according to him, that came out of a more quiet place instead of a place of fear and reactivity when he could just sort of let it go. So really the question for us is, for so many things, the world is filled with suffering and injustice and, you know, social injustice and poverty. And there's so many. We have suffering in our own lives, in our relationships, and our great bigger, you know, let the community expand out into the nation, the world. For any of these, how we engage, if we can engage in with them, not from a reactive place, but from a place of the best we can, of a quiet mind and an open heart, I think we have the best chance to be responsive in the most effective way rather than just reactive, which oftentimes is not the most effective. To the extent I can keep my heart open and my mind quiet, what I've noticed for myself is I didn't lose my opinions on what's right or wrong. So I didn't lose anything. I still feel the way I feel about the elections in November. It hasn't changed. Or about Prop 8. None of that's changed. But I suffer less. I'm not in adversarial relationships with everyone. I can keep people in my heart and hopefully be more effective. And then from that place, I can't say what actions each of us should take. That's our own. We have to each find our own way. Where we want to put our energies and in what way we're going to move forward, that's for each of us to decide. I wonder if anyone has your own questions, comments, anything. Yeah, Liz.
I have a question. So on one side, you're always burning. On the other hand, you can open your heart and be peaceful. And also when one is in deep meditation, one is not burning, one is burning.
Sometimes you do meditation, you are burning.
But in samadhi or... I'm just, for the benefit of argument, there are times when one is not burning.
Right.
Was that in the sutta also?
Well, do we just look at our own experience? Yeah. The Buddha's not saying that every moment you're on fire, even the times when you're not on fire.
Okay.
And we all know, every one of us experience times, and we say this often, of where we're in that moment, there isn't any greed, hatred, and delusion. And our hearts are open, and our minds are quiet, and we're not suffering. The problem is that the latent or the unsprouted seeds, the potential for it to sprout is still in there. So all it will take is In other words, it's what we call conditioned peace and happiness, because the conditions happen to be right. But as soon as conditions come together, there you go. So the potential is still in there.
Well, I have a question. When you're in the midst of reactivity, and you know you are, and you know that other place, which is a bigger place to me, it's the place that holds both places, if that makes sense. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can let go, you can drop the reactivity and get to that broader perspective.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't.
Right.
So what are the steps?
Well, that's just what skillful means in any moment. And so, you know, we've talked about, I think just a few weeks ago, we went through, there's a list of, the Buddha gives a list, but there's a whole range of skillful means. So if you're, let's say whatever's happening is quite strong. I mean, the energy is really powerful. But you're aware of what's happening in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know that sometimes that's enough, but oftentimes it's not enough, right? So there's many, many skillful means we can throw out, and I'm just doing this quickly. We're not going to have time to do that justice. That's a whole big exploration. But for example, sometimes feeling right into the burn, letting that suffering of a mind of whatever, hate, really connect with it, feel it. Where do you feel it in your body? What's it like to have a mind that's burning in hate? It doesn't usually feel that great. Sometimes that, you know, because something in the mind's holding on and not ready to let go. It may not be verbal, but on some level, something's still holding on. That could be one. Sometimes we bring in metta or compassion practices for the person or thing externally or for ourselves. That can help. Sometimes maybe we need to kind of get the energy out a little bit, and we need to move our bodies. And I mean, it could be so many things. And sometimes we need to talk about it, or we need to be in therapy, or you know, it could be so many skillful means. But what's needed is it's pointing to the bigger topic of having a well-developed toolkit accessible to us, and part of that is strengthening the ability to just let go. Right? Sometimes just shifting the mind, but in a way where there's a genuine, the unwholesome mind state lets go and really open up into something more wholesome. But that's a skill that we have to cultivate. That's what we're working on. That's what we're doing. So yeah, so it's a process. And we're all going to have our edge. And we want to be respectful that and know that we're human beings and we have edges. And things can cross over the edge, and then, you know, we do the best we can. And that's when we need a lot of compassion for ourselves. Knowing that sometimes we're going to suffer and it's not so easy to get out of it. Yeah, Eric.
This is a difficult one for me, because I have a tendency to listen to regard some things as being simple, you know, barking idiocy. But
nobody's saying it's not.
I understand. But on the other hand, like you, I have a brother who's on the far opposite end of the political spectrum. Unlike you, I can't. He's an intelligent man. He's got a good heart. He considers things. And I do not understand how he can feel the way he feels.
Right. I can relate to that.
So I simply cannot have those conversations.
Right.
I don't want to wall myself off. And in principle, I don't want to wall myself off into believing. We all tend to look for things to confirm what we already believe. Yeah. And I don't want to wall myself off in that corner.
Yeah.
But it's very hard for me to, for example, I want to try and understand my brother.
Right.
But I find it very hard to get through that barrier of having to stay away from it.
Right.
Because it's so upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. So, listen, I can relate to that 100%. So, you know, it sounds like your brother and my brother would get along great, right? So can I ask you a question?
Please do.
There's one thing about being able to understand, and so his mind just works in some way, and you know, when he looks out from his eyes and sees the world, perceives in some way that you just don't understand. It does, right? You don't get it, right?
It's not stupid.
Right. Being able to understand it, I don't know about that. If our hearts can stay open, Another skillful means, talking about what you're going to what you're talking about, is sometimes what can happen is rather than trying to open our hearts in the face of the difficulty, if we can get some space around it and actually turn away and bring our minds and hearts towards something where it's easy for us to open up, have our hearts open and our minds be more quiet. I put my mind on what is it that can open my heart, find the things that really has my heart open to my, and I'm in a place of peace. From that place, while that's strong, what does it look like when you turn towards your brother then? Not try to do it in the face of the heat of battle with your brother. You know what I'm saying? It's an experiment.
I can love him and care for him when I'm in a place of strength, but I can't understand
it. I'm not trying to say what it looks like if we can keep our hearts open towards other beings. It may be we're still baffled, or we still feel like, no, he's a bad guy, we've got to take him out. Or so, I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not trying to say. I can't tell you what that's going to look like.
Well, I think, 9/11 truthers are a little bit closer to perhaps our side, but of course.
Our job, from a Dharma perspective, is clear. It's tending to our own hearts and minds in a way that doesn't get jerked around by circumstances. I don't want to have the state of my heart be at the mercy of all these external forces. That's all I'm talking about.
For myself, having gone through a lot of very politically active periods in my life, if you can, it's always helpful to be less reactive as far as being in a state of mind where you're going to come up with skillful means.
Yeah,
and that's basically what you were saying.
That's all I'm saying, and I appreciate that.
I absolutely agree with that.
Well, go ahead. We're going to have to end.
Okay. Only one other thing I want to say is that the what I find a lot of time with folks in the Dharma, and this is a gross generalization, but I've seen it over a number of years, is there's so much focus on getting to certain states of mind that aren't so reactive that it kind of paralyzes people, or they just draw away from wanting to be active in the world. And the one thing I would say about that is that if you wait until you're perfect, it's right. Like waiting for Godot.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. Yeah. And just to say, it can also go out of balance the other way.
Absolutely.
Where there's the world's filled with people who are so outwardly engaged that don't take the time to tend to them. So we can go out of balance.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you're saying. And just one point, I hope it was clear. When I took a few minutes and I just said something about perceptions, I didn't want to get off too much into that except kind of just what you're saying, just to name that perceptions is a big topic. You can't stop having perception. We're not even going to notice all the time that process is happening, but just to know that it's part of what we are, that we can hold our views more lightly. We don't have to get rid of them or change them, but we just want to be careful about being too rigid and just open. It's all skillful means, as I was pointing towards keeping our hearts open.